Happy Sabbath, church.
Woo, that was dead.
Happy Sabbath, church. Wow, that's so much better. Much, much better. Before we open the Word of God, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we pray that you will be with us, that you will open up our ears and open up our eyes so that we might see your Son clearly. I also pray for the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit that was on Daniel. I pray that it will be here today. Father, I know that I have blown it through this week, and I know that there are some here, or maybe everyone here, because none of us are perfect, that have blown it through this week. On this Sabbath day, I pray that you will sanctify us and that you will make us holy because you're the only one that can. And so we ask this in the most beautiful name that was ever said, Jesus. Amen. 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 How many of you have felt lost in your life? Come on, be honest. Have felt lost in your life? I think pretty much everyone here raised their hand. How many of you, as a Christian, have felt lost in your life? Yeah, some of you are bold enough to raise your hand. How many of you, as a Seventh-day Adventist, have felt lost in your life? Yeah, me too. Me too. I have wonderful news for you today. That as a Seventh-day Adventist people, we have been chosen by God to never be lost. Did you know that? We have been chosen by God to never be lost. That's awesome news for us today. You see, most of my life, I grew up lost. As a child, I believed in everything my parents taught me. So childhood was pretty good. Childhood actually was real good. I got to the age of 12 years old, being a minister's son, that I gave my life to Jesus. I remember Pastor Milton Peverini from the Voice of Prophecy came to our church. He held meetings, and he spoke about Jesus in a way that I had never heard before, in a loving way, in a most precious way, and there is no other greater name than Jesus. And I fell in love with Jesus, and I gave my heart, and I was baptized. But you know what happens in youth. As I started to grow up, I went to academy. How many of you went to academy? All right, I know that our academies are starting to shut down, but I went to an academy just down south of here, and that's Sandy View Academy in New Mexico. I went to academy, and there in academy, I met friends that were lost. Can you imagine that? In our own academy, children, young people that were lost. And do you know that because of peer pressure, I followed most of them instead of following Jesus? I don't know if you've ever done that before, all right? And then I went to college, university. I went to Southwestern Adventist University. Anybody from Southwestern here? A few people are from Southwestern. My wife graduated from Southwestern. And at Southwestern University, I was the modern-day Jonah. My father and mother wanted me to be a minister because my brothers had left the church, and I had extreme pressure to be a minister, but at the same time, that was not cool. So I ran from being a minister, and I ended up with a history major and a Spanish major, but once you know it, a religion minor, because I was running from that call that I really believed at the time was my parents' call, not my call. And again, I was lost. And I left Southwestern Adventist University, and I went to work, not as a teacher, but selling television advertisement. At Southwestern Adventist University, I forgot to tell you that most all my friends, and especially the cool kids on campus, were lost too. They weren't following Jesus. And here's my point with that. I believe with all my heart that when this generation, my son's generation, I don't know about your generation, where they were with the message of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but for my parents, who are now past, but they were, they'd be like in their 90s now, they believed in the Adventist message with all their heart and all their soul. Did you know that every girl that went to college wanted to marry a pastor? Not a doctor, a pastor. And nowadays, you know, when I went to seminary, none of them wanted to marry a pastor. Okay? But it is this generation, my son's generation, the youth, because Jesus, you know, loved children. He loved the youth. They were attracted to him. This generation, Alan White says, when the youth rise up, guess what happens? Jesus will come. When the youth of our church realize how special and chosen they are, and how awesome and mighty it is to be a Seventh-day Adventist, Jesus will come. And it's happening all over the world already. We're just behind in North America, that's all. Can you hear it? Can you tell me an amen on that? Our children must become proud of being a Seventh-day Adventist. So, speed up the story. I went and I started selling television advertisement in a TV station called Telemundo. ¿Ustedes hablan español? Un poquito. I should have bought stock at that time. Really, really a dumb move not to buy stock because now it's huge. Univision and Telemundo both are bigger networks than ABC, CBS, NBC. They have more viewers because there's few channels. When I was a kid in my day, there was only ABC, NBC, and CBS. But now, with cable and satellite, we have all kinds of channels. But Telemundo, Univision, they own the market. And I worked for Telemundo. And I love sports. How many of you love sports? In fact, I love them too much. All right? Yeah, someone also admits that they like them too much. And I love sports. And I thought in my life that the one thing that I wanted to be was a professional athlete. I didn't care if it was baseball. I didn't care if it was football. I didn't care if it was basketball. In fact, I played at Keene on the basketball team. And, you know, the last time I've looked at basketball, there's not a slow Mexican that is in the NBA. But my dreams, and the devil deceived me to think that I could be in the NBA. I wasn't that good, but I believed that. And then as I, again, started doing this television advertisement and selling, I got the opportunity to start helping the Spanish guys get interviews at the ball games to put that on the news that evening. So all of a sudden, hey, I didn't reach my dream to be a professional athlete, but now I have my dream to be in sports, and here I'm sitting on the first row of the arena, the Washington Bullets, now the Washington Wizards, and I'm getting to see these games right up in front where everyone else wants to be, all the rock stars, all the movie stars, and there I was, and I was able to go into the locker rooms and interview Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and Michael. Yeah, some of you know. My son didn't know who was that? Russell Wilson was the other day. I was like, what planet do you live in, son? And some of you don't know who Russell Wilson is. He's the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. And some of you are still shrugging. Who cares? Okay? But the bottom line, I started selling television advertisement. I was doing these games. I thought, wow, I have arrived. I was, again, lost as far as my relationship with God and my church. Then baseball season started, and they wanted me to cover the Baltimore Orioles. There was only one problem. What do you think that problem was? The Sabbath. And it started to bother me, you know, because I could go and party on a Friday night. This is really crazy. But I couldn't work on the Sabbath. Some just shaking your head going, what is wrong with this minister? Okay? I was lost. I was lost. But there was the Holy Spirit tugging on my brain. David, David, okay? The Sabbath. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Finally, I decided, yeah, I can't deny the Holy Spirit anymore. I can't keep going to these games. It just bothered me so much that I said, Lord, okay, I'm going to give up this job. I'm not going to do the Orioles. And you know what? If you open the doors for me to go back to seminary, I'll go back to seminary. So I called Andrews University and I said, you know, could I get in? You know, and they were like, what? Who are you? And I said, well, you know, I have a religion minor. Could I somehow get into the seminary? And they said, well, if you come up this summer we'll and you pass Greek, then you can get into the seminary in the fall. And how I passed it, I have no idea. But the Lord helped me through it. I graduated, thank you, Lordy, right? Like some of you, maybe there's some of you that graduated, thank you, Lordy. But I graduated. And I finished seminary, and I went and pastored a church. And I went into the Air Force. And in times of my life, even when I was a pastor, I was lost. I was lost. My uncle had told me many years before, he was a pastor, and he'd say to me, David, you need to read the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God. Well, I studied the Word of God, or I read the Word of God, and I was getting really nothing out of it. Even as a pastor, I would read the Bible, and I would get my sermons out of the Bible. But I was lost. Can you relate? I started reading my Bible because I felt like, you know, my uncle told me to do this and he gave me some plans and I'd read it. I've read the Bible several times and it still didn't hit me. Then I became the pastor of Aurora First. And when I became the pastor of Aurora First, after serving in the Air Force, I said, Lord, I need to know the Adventist doctrine. I need to know the Bible. I want you to really, I'm going to dedicate myself to you again. And I'm going to study the Word like I never had before. And I started reading the Word of God and really studying. And even my church members, which some are right here, knew something was happening in my life. And it was at the end of Aurora, about 3 years ago, that I put something together. I started reading my Bible like I never had before. The first thing I did was I took notes. You know, I just started taking notes of the Bible. Everything that, you know, impressed me, I would take notes. Then I started taking notes and doing it on every chapter. Every chapter I started taking notes. Then I started typing out my Bible, okay? And this has taken me several years. I started typing out my Bible, and I started color coding every chapter of the Bible. And it changed my life. This changed my life. The Word of God will change our life so that we never are lost again. Okay? Because now, with all my heart, I believe in the Seventh-day Adventist message. I believe in the Sabbath. Do you know that most Adventists, when they're asked, hey, you know, what about the Sabbath thing? Or, you know, it's no big deal to go to church on Sunday. The text they know is Exodus 28. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But did you know that the scripture is full of the Sabbath? Full of it. It's Sabbath is everywhere. And when you realize that, you realize that it's truth and that God loves the Sabbath. He absolutely loves the Sabbath. But more importantly than anything that I found out of the Word of God, just like David Asherick preaches about, is that God is love. God is love. God is love. And do you know what I found out even more so? That he's all about new starts. New starts. So my life has had so many starts. Has yours? You know, new starts. My life has had many conversions, not just one. I've had many starts because I fall and I start up again and I fall and I start up again. But I never realized what God was trying to teach me. And the children of Israel did the same thing. They would start and they would start. They would fall and they would fall. And God was trying to teach them something through the whole process. And they weren't learning it. And for 4,000 years, the devil did everything so they wouldn't learn it. And the devil is doing everything that we won't learn the word of God. Okay? Because he knew if he could get them away from the word of God and not knowing what it was about, they would reject Jesus. And that's exactly what they did. They rejected Jesus. So let's start at Genesis with new starts. All right? Let's even start before that. Let's start, and boy, this sermon could get really long, so you're going to have to tell me to stop sometime. Okay? Because this is a lifetime sermon. All right? So let's start in heaven. What happened in heaven? God created, and because he is a God of love, he gave his creation choice. Isn't that amazing? The most amazing thing to tell someone that says, well, where did God come from and why did he let sin originate is choice. Because when you love someone, they always have to have the choice to love you back. When I married my wife, I didn't put a gun to her head. I didn't say, hey, baby, you look fine now. You got to be my wife. I didn't do that. I wooed her to me. She wooed me to her because love was reciprocal. And God created beings with the choice, this even blows my mind, and I think C.S. Lewis says it, that even could resist him. Isn't that incredible? He didn't want robots. He wanted love. Because that's who he is. That's his character. And this being decided in heaven that, you know what? I have a better way of doing it. In fact, the Bible says that he fell in love with himself, right? Fell in love with his beauty. And pretty soon he was jealous, and pretty soon he was breaking the Ten Commandments, and that's why it's so important for us to follow those, because Satan, the evil one, hates the Ten Commandments. He hates Jesus, and he hates the Ten Commandments. And so he was cast out of heaven, but if God would have destroyed him at that point, you know the story, all of them. All his creatures would have obeyed him out of what? Fear. Fear. So then what did God do? He started over, and he started a planet. He made this earth through his son. His son is the one that was the word. And his son made this perfect place. Okay, you know the story. This is like preaching in the choir, but we'll get to the nitty-gritty here. So then what happens? There's the fall. But in Genesis 3:15, what happens? God comes and finds the ones that had sinned against him. He's the one that came looking for them. And he said, you know what? Someday there will be a redeemer. Out of your seed, Eve, there will be a redeemer. Right? And so then what happens in the history of Genesis? The next thing that happens is there's a fall again with Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But we have the flood, right? And there's a new what? Start. There's a new start. Then we have Abraham. Abraham, who came out of the land of what? Talk to me, church. Out of the land of Ur. Do you know that Abraham's family had, the reason why I believe that God was calling him out, because Abraham had a brother who had given his daughter to his other brother. Read that carefully, and you will find that out. No wonder God wanted him out of that land of Ur. And that land of Ur, as we find out, is Babylon, and that place has always been wicked. Right? So he brings him out. But what I find interesting about Abraham is that he is a what? He is a liar. Did you know that? Have you read the story about Abraham? He lies about Sarah. And do you know that he passes that on to his son? Isaac lies about Rebekah. And then, do you know what? Jacob is a liar. And then his sons are a liar. And yet God chooses his sons to be the 12 tribes of Israel. Starting over. Always starting over. When you come to Moses, is that a start over? Moses was hidden in that basket for 3 months. Then he knew that he was special, chosen by God. But then what does he do? He kills the Egyptian, and God starts all over with him again. All right, are you tracking with me? What's happening? In the book of Judges, you see them for a period following God, and then they fall, and they start right over. And then you get to the stories of Ruth. Talk about a start over. Her husband dies. And now she is the great-grandmother of who? David. Yeah, start over. Esther, an orphan girl, starts over, becomes the queen. You see this story after story in Scripture. There's a pattern. Okay, and then you get to the prophets, the kings, and all of a sudden they get wicked, and God brings a special prophet, a special king, you know, of Josiah, you know, of Hezekiah, you know, of who else? Josiah. Great kings. And there's great prophets like Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah. And what do? They all bring people back to the Ten Commandments. It's all about starting over. Then we get to Jesus. Is that a start over? For you and me, is that a start over? How about that one? You know that Jesus came to save people from their sins. He didn't came to save people in their sins. He came to save people from their sins. Does that make sense? That's beautiful, isn't it? And I have sin in my life. He's come to save me from my sin, that I might be a new person, a new creation, as Paul said. Now tell me, who are some of the people in the Gospels? When you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, that started over. Who are they? Peter. Peter denied Christ. Started over. Who else? Mary. Yes, Mary. Woman of the street. Started totally over. Who else? Saul. Well, that's after the Gospels. You're going way ahead of me, man. You are fast. Who else? Levi, the tax collector. It's story after story. It's even in the parables. The prodigal son. Starting over. Are you getting the picture of starting over? Okay. And then you get to the scripture that was read today with the Apostle Paul. All right. The Apostle Paul was there when they stoned Stephen. He was sitting there. You know that the Apostle Paul said that he had all kinds of sin in his life before he met Jesus. And we know that as a rich Pharisee, he had everything he wanted. I'm talking about women. I'm talking about wealth, everything. Everything. He had it all. And he thought he was doing right, and he was there when Stephen was stoned. That story makes me want to cry because he actually put someone to death. Just like David, he was a murderer. And that's why later he says he is the chief of what? Sinners. Because the closer we get to Jesus, the more we see our own weakness. The more we see that we need him to build us again, to transform our lives, to start over. I don't know where you are today. You know, I thought with this sermon maybe I would only touch one person here today. Maybe two. You know what's happening in your lives. You know where you are with God. You can't run from God. He's there. He knows your thoughts. He's there. He knows your secrets. He's there. But it's always calling you to come back, to start over. To start over to what? And here's this, I believe, the secret that I found. And maybe it's, you know, the choir sings it all the time. But for me, I finally got it in my head. The starting over is repentance. See? God always was leading Israel, all his people, to start over, but it was to a point, to a goal, and that was to repentance. And repentance looks like this. Repentance looks like you're going this way, and then all of a sudden what? You turn around and you start going the other way. Repentance is living with the Ten Commandments. You see, I always wondered, well, why are the Ten Commandments so huge for our church? The devil did everything for the Israelites to reject Jesus, and he's going to do everything for the world to reject the Ten Commandments. That's his plan. For the end of time, he wants us to reject the Ten Commandments, because when we do keep the commandments, we get closer to God, and guess what? We have peace. We're not lost. See, John chapter 10, Jesus said that he came to give life, what? Abundantly. John, when he was preaching to everyone, he was telling them all, before Jesus came to the river to be baptized, he said, repent, for the kingdom of what? Is at hand. Kingdom of what? Of God is at hand. And do you know what they asked him? Well, what does that mean? What do you mean repent? He said, stop lying. Stop cheating. Stop stealing. And then Jesus came. And guess what he said? Repent, for the kingdom of what? Of heaven is at hand. That's me. What does that mean then? It means that God wants us to live in the Ten Commandments, because when we do, we have peace. Does that make sense? We have peace. Do you want peace? Do you not want to be lost? It's living inside those ten. Because when I live inside those ten, and I don't hurt you by stealing, and I don't hurt you by cheating, and I don't hurt you by lying, and I don't want everything, and I don't commit adultery on my wife, and I don't, and I respect my mother and father, I have peace with my fellow mate. But when I have peace with God is when he is my God, and I don't bow down to anything else, and I respect him, and I'm of him. And I honor and keep the Sabbath. See, the Sabbath is so intimacy that so intimate. There's intimacy with God with the Sabbath. You know, he says it's a sign between he and his people. Do you know that God loves us so much? Would you agree with that? Do you feel blessed? How many of you feel blessed? Okay. I feel blessed every day. I have a beautiful home. I have a beautiful family. I have health. I feel very, very blessed. But in a relationship, it goes both ways, doesn't it? Doesn't it? There's no relationship that's good, healthy, and I give everything, and that person gives me nothing back. And so God is very clear. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. If we want to love God, if we want to show him love, it's by keeping his commandments. Does that make sense? Now, the third part of my sermon. So the first part is starting over. We have to share with our children that God is a forgiving God, a merciful God, and that he loves us so much. And that all of us can start over. Number two is to start over and living inside the big ten. It's to repent. And then the third part, and this might be maybe the most important part, it was for me, because repentance doesn't come natural. The Holy Spirit has to work on you to repent as well. And I am sinful, and I fall over and over again, and I hurt people that I love. I do that all the time because I'm good at that. So I found out that in Scripture that God has favorite numbers. Did you know that? Do you know that psychologists believe that if you go to 21 days, you can break a habit? You've heard that, right, before? Some psychiatrist says 28 days, whatever those days. I'm not an expert. But I know that they say you go so many days and you can break a habit, right? Well, the scripture is full of God's numbers, okay? You said one of them, number 7. I'm going to start with the number 3, all right? And you'll see where I'm going with all of this at the end. Right now, you might be thinking, boy, this passage has been all over the place. But number 3, all right? Where does the number 3 show up? I should do this side of the church and this side of the church, see who wins, okay? Where does number 3 show up? The Godhead, Trinity, right away. There's one right here. Anywhere else, number 3. Okay? The shepherds. That's right. Okay, so they're right there in the story of his birth. Okay, where else? The 3 wise men. Very good. What else? The 3, ooh, I love that. I didn't thought about that one. The 3 angels' message. What else? Jonah. Jonah in the belly of the whale for 3 days. What else? Jesus in the, oh, awesome. Jesus in the grave, 3 days. Where else? 3 people, oh, I didn't even think about these. 3 people on the cross, awesome. Where else do we see 3? Jesus' death, no question about it. Awesome, young man. Yes, yes, that's awesome. He was put on the cross at 9 in the morning, just like the daily sacrifice, and he died at 3 o'clock. You're amazing, kid. Okay. 3, what more, how many more 3s can you think of? 3. Okay, 3 hours of darkness. Yes, I hadn't thought about that one. That's awesome. 3 in the fire furnace. See how collectively the Bible says, come and let us reason together. Why? Because we start working together. Okay, 3. So 3 is huge in the Bible. What's the next number that's really huge? 7. Okay, give me some 7s. 7 is perfection. That's God's perfect numbers. That's the Sabbath. What else? 7. The seventh day of creation. Again, the young man is bright and shining. What else? The 7 what? The 7 seals. The 7 trumpets. 7 thunders. I mean, that's all over Revelation. What else? What was that? The 7, good, okay. The clean animals, I like that. We see that also in the dreams of Pharaoh, right? What else? 7. What? The Sabbath. The seventh day Sabbath, yes. Jericho, yes, marching around the walls of Jericho 7 times. They did that every day, didn't they? The 7th head of beast, okay. Now you guys are getting deep on me. Okay, what else? That. Okay, now you're talking about it. Okay, 7. The 7 what? 7 weeks, the 490-day prophecy. Awesome. So you're getting the picture. 7, what were you going to say? Oh, love it. Love it. Did you know that when Elijah went, that was 3. Elijah put his body over the young man that had passed away, the widow's son. 3 times he put a, so that's another 3. But Elisha, when the apartment up on the top, and he'd come and visit, and the boy got sick, he sneezed 7 times. Naaman went under the water 7 times. Okay? Yeah, John was in, we already said that one, honey. The what now? Wow. Okay, there's some that they didn't even cross my mind. I'm just going to believe you. But there's 7. There's the 10 virgins. Okay, so the 7 is all over Scripture. Then what's the next number that's big? 10. 10 is not as big as 3 and 7, but you see the 10 virgins, you see the 10 commandments, you see 10 in the Bible. Then 12. 12 what? 12 pearly gates, 12 tribes, 12 disciples, okay? Then you get to 24. That's the other number that I found while I was searching my numbers, the 24 elders, but that's about it. Yes. Now you're getting, you're just too bright. I don't know what I'm going to do here. Okay? So then you get to 24, then you get to 30. You know, 30 was a big one. Jesus started his ministry at 30 years old. David became king at 30 years old. There's some 30s. But then the next big one, so I have found out that 3, 7, and 40 are the biggies. What happens with 40? There's 40s everywhere. 40 what? 40 days in the desert. This young man is all over it. Yes? Wilderness, 40 days. Jesus. Goliath taunted David for 40 days and nights. The spies went out into Israel, into Canaan for 40 days. Boy, this young man is great, huh? Says, you need to be a pastor, young man. Okay? So 40 is, what else? There's more. There are more than 40. I know that I wrote some down. So there are 40 days of spies, 40 days of Goliath, 40 days. Did you know that 40 days Moses went up to Mount Sinai twice for 40 days? Do you know that Elijah went out up to Mount Horeb for 40 days after running from Jezebel? And Mount Horeb is what? Mount Sinai. Yeah, so 40. So I found out that 3, 7, okay, 12, 30, 40, all these numbers, but 3, 7, and 40 were huge in Scripture, and you can study it for yourself. But here's where I'm going with this. I also found out, not only through my personal life, but sharing this with someone else, that if you go 3 days without doing something that will hurt you, it's going to help you a lot. That's where you need to start. In fact, I need to work with you, brother, because you're a writer and I'm not. But this, I have thought about this and putting it into just a small book, because I've seen as an Air Force chaplain people that were so addicted. Okay? Remember, we went from starting over to repentance, all right? And we want to live inside the Big Ten, but so many people have addictions. So many people feel like they just can't stop whatever they're doing. And so I have told people, just stop for 3 days, whatever that is. And I will encourage you to do it with food, because Jesus started with food in the wilderness. Okay? Do it with food. Maybe you have a real problem with sugar. Go 3 days without the sugar. And then make your goal to get to 7. All right? Whatever is going on. Men, I'm talking to you with whatever is hurting you. Women, whatever you're watching that you shouldn't be watching, go 3 days. Everyone here can go 3 days. Come on. And then go 7. And then start reaching to 12. Then reach to 24. Do you know what has happened with me? Because I have a problem with TV. I don't know about you. And not only do I have a problem with TV, I have a problem with what I watch on TV. Okay? I can fall with that TV box. And so I told myself I was going to do this. And I went 3 and I went 7 on what I was watching. And then pretty soon I got to 12. By the time I got around 17 or 18, I didn't want to start all over again. I wanted to get to 40. And you know what happened when I got to 40? I believe that Ellen White was 1,000% right when she says the mind is so powerful. Right then, I realized that Satan cannot have control over me. That my mind is powerful. And that God has given me this mind. And I've let Satan use my mind and let him control me. I don't have to anymore. I can gain victory. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome news. So, I'm going to close. And I've gone a long time today. You're going to go, please never come back. 3, 7, 12, 24, 30, 40. It's an incredible thing to do. I told this to a young man that came to my chapel office. He's having problems with drinking. He and his wife is separated, and that's why as a church, you know, all we have to tell our young people, listen, the reason why not to drink is because it makes you break the Ten Commandments. Did you know that? It leads you to break the Ten Commandments because you're not thinking clearly, right? And so they've had so many marital problems. So I told him about this, the three, the seven. He is at 79 days. He was this Thursday. He hadn't drank for 79 days. I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. So hopefully it's something to think about and to apply in your lives. But number one, God is always ready to forgive us. Can you say amen to that? No matter where we are, it doesn't matter how sinful we are, what we've done in our past, he's always ready to forgive us and to start again. But he wants us to learn that it's just not forgiveness over and ever again, because there are many churches that say, okay, well, you know, all I had to do is confess my sin, but there's no transformation. There's no change. That would be a great religion, to just go and confess and do the same thing and feel fine about it. But you're still stuck in the same ruts, in the same addictions, in the same slavery that Satan puts you in. But then he says, I want to transform you through repentance. And now through his numbers, you can get that victory. I believe it with all my heart. And I just hope that you will try this next week to whatever is hurting you, to start applying this principle. And just remember that on the Sabbath day, everything starts again. It's a day of complete forgiveness. On the Sabbath day, did you know that it was on the seventh month, on the 10th day was the Day of Atonement? So that means that it was on the number 7 and that it was on the number 10, and it was on a Sabbath. Do you know that Jesus, you can study this in the book of Acts, went back to heaven on a Sabbath? It was on a Sabbath day's walk. The disciples said that. And then he goes back to heaven on a Sabbath. I believe that Jesus is about to come soon. And this is my hunch, and you might think I'm a nut job. But I believe that maybe he's coming back on the 7,000 year, and we don't know when that day is. We got to be close. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. And could he, you know, and I told David when he was here, David Asher, that I think he's coming on a Sabbath. And David said, well, there's Sabbaths all over the place, all over the world at different times. I said, yeah, but Hezekiah, his day stopped. And so I believe he's coming back on a Sabbath, and he's coming really, really soon. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this Sabbath day. I pray on this Sabbath day that you will heal us. I pray that you will transform us. My prayer every day is that you will change my heart, that you will transform my heart. And on this Sabbath day, I pray that you will answer that prayer. And I pray that you will answer that prayer for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, thank you so much for saving us. I pray that we will leave this place knowing that we are loved by you. I pray now that you will guide us through this Sabbath and that you will guide us through this week. Father, we want to see you. Jesus, we want to see you. Holy Spirit, we want to see you face to face. Amen.